All right, good morning. I will call us to order for the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting on this January 27, 2015, and ask if everyone would please join the board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, house full today. We've got a fairly packed agenda. We'll go ahead and jump right into it. Public comment number one. This is an opportunity for members of the public to comment on items on today's agenda. Anyone wishing to do so? Seeing no one moving to the microphone, we'll move on to consideration of minutes. This is for the January 20th minutes.
Move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Corrections or additions? Clinton.
Aye.
Toot.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Takes us to consideration of personnel actions as listed.
Move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion. Clinton.
Aye.
Toot.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Consideration of claims.
I like this month too, but Paul, I'll let you have this one if you want.
I'll move approval.
Okay. Second.
I like any time we're under $500,000. Further discussion. Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Consent agenda, please add road closure 1527 and 1528.
Move approval with noted changes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Clinton.
Aye.
Toot.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Consent agenda passes. No public hearing items today. Additional items. Discussion and consideration of new assistant Story County attorney position, Teresa Smith and Jessica Reynolds. Even though I introduced you, please introduce yourselves for the record and your position.
Good morning. My name is Jessica Reynolds. I'm the first assistant Story County attorney. I work for County Attorney Stephen Holmes. And this is Teresa Smith. She's our chief legal executive officer in our office. And the purpose for our attendance here today is a follow-up to the budget work session that Stephen Holmes had with the Board of Supervisors, wherein he requested an additional assistant Story County attorney position. And there was quite a bit of discussion at that time regarding the reasons. Just to touch on those briefly, our office has seen a caseload increase in the civil docket. I checked this morning. I currently have 580 pending items at this time. We'd like to see that around 300 pending items approximately for the current docket. We've seen a consistent increase in this docket, which we really see as a positive indicator of the progressive nature of not only this board but of other departments in the county as we reach out and encourage economic development and outreach to smaller communities, as well as an increased usage by most of the departments of our legal services. For example, I know one of the things the board has done in recent years is had all contracts that go on the board's agenda go through our office, which is an excellent idea. I do expect the increase to continue. I have personally seen a increase in this docket since I started a little over 2 years ago in it. I'd like to see the response time of the civil docket increase. I think I'd like to, is particularly with conservation, I usually, you know, have about a week lag time with them on response time, and I'd like to be able to increase that so that it's consistent throughout all departments. I make sure I'm immediately available to all departments when they need me, but then I may have to postpone getting back to people. You know, just an example was last Tuesday I was at the board meeting and the county assessor came up and he needed interrogatories and subpoenas out that afternoon. So in order to do that, I had to put someone else off that I had planned to get to, and I'd like to not have to do that. Also, as you all know, I'm the first assistant within our office, and so I have management responsibilities within my own department, and I'd like to increase the time that I spend on those if possible, and in order to do that, I'm going to need some assistance in this docket. The salary request that we are requesting for the position is $69,700. It'd be a mid-level attorney position, and we feel that we could find someone with some experience, but still get a fair price for an attorney. I think in my experience, I had experience coming into the civil docket, even though it wasn't civil experience, it was criminal and juvenile trial experience. And I feel that having someone with experience does increase their ability to learn the position quickly, and they already have the professionalism and the client skills that are necessary before they begin the position. And Teresa and I are happy to answer any questions.
Well, I will just comment, Jessica, there is no question that we've had an increased workload for you, and you've done a terrific job as far as working with the board, and so I certainly recognize that other boards and committees and departments are also seeking advice, and part of it is due to, you know, our philosophy that certainly any contracts that are going to be entered into on behalf of Story County is reviewed by legal counsel and so forth, just so that we can develop not only consistency but aware of, you know, potential other things that could go unnoticed by, you know, those of us that's not familiar with contract law and so forth. So I certainly see that, and I know this has been something that was talked about. It was talked about during the budget work session and so forth. My concern, of course, has always been that, you know, whoever comes in, we still want you to be our primary point of contact. You know, the way you come in with a smile on your face and radiate a lot of enthusiasm for what you do, I would hate to miss that. And just a couple of things, I know it's not legal to do, but just as a pun in this discussion, you know, if the people are loyal to Cyclones, you know, that would help a little bit, because this is Cyclone country at this time of year. And second
thing. But you said you wanted me to remain.
And then the second thing is a catchy name. You know, I'm thinking of an attorney like Dr. Shortino or something like that, or Attorney Shortino, some name that's so catchy, you know. But no, I don't have any real concerns. You have clearly demonstrated to us that there is a definite need. The workload has increased, and from all the things that we have in our strategic planning portfolio, and as we hope to move the county forward, there's no question there's going to be even more of a demand.
Wayne, I think it's a great point. I will say to members of the audience and anybody listening, unless you listened to the attorney budget work session, which was recorded here and was a public meeting, but it was not attended by any members of the public, the board's at a little bit of advantage here in that we did spend a considerable amount of time on this in that meeting. I think, however, even though the board has spent considerable amount of time on this, it is appropriate if we go back and we cover the foundational items. And so to that end, I would turn to our HR director, Alyssa Wignall, and ask Alyssa, just for the record and for the board, tell us about your review of this request and what your assessment is.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
I met with Jessica and Teresa before budgets were due to discuss this. I do personally know the workload that our office puts on Jessica. It's quite a bit on a daily basis, and I'm grateful that she responds very quickly to our needs. The caseload is pretty high compared to the other attorneys, so that's a concern. When you get to that point and you have one individual doing that, you get a lot of burnout for employees. We also look when the attorney's office has other attorneys go out on leave, whether it's maternity leave, they're just on a vacation. The other attorneys fill in. They still have to go to court. And I do know that our civil attorney will fill in. There'll be days where she's covering juvenile court or whatever. Some of the other items that I cover with them as far as whether there was a need for any other additional pay plan staff, a legal assistant to do any work for them, at this point, that is not being looked at. They felt like they were able to handle most of the documents that they needed to do. Other than that, that's pretty much what I look at. We did go over the salary. They were not looking for an entry-level attorney, like Jessica said. This is not a position where you want somebody to get the experience right away. You want somebody to come in with some.
Timetable, if approved, are we looking to fill that ASAP or by July 1st?
July 1.
Yeah. July 1 of the new fiscal year.
This is something that in our initial review of the county attorney's budget, we did, at least at this point, we have that in the budget starting July 1st. The one thing that has not been mentioned yet that I think is important to mention before we open it up for questions is that the Emergency Management Commission has just entered into an agreement, or at least budgeted to enter into an agreement with the county attorney's office to pay a retainer in order to have the county attorney provide legal services to the Emergency Management Commission. That is actually a program that I could see growing beyond just the Emergency Management Commission. Can't do it right now because we don't have the capacity within civil. This, I believe, would give us the capacity to at least explore whether that's a viable possibility. Anything to add to that, Jess?
I agree with that. I think that is a something that Mr. Holmes and I are very interested in exploring, but we feel maxed out as far as time to add any additional clients at this point.
And then the only other thing I would add is the savings to the people of Story County by the Story County Board of Supervisors making sure that we are we have the best protection before, during, and after entering into agreements as possible is worth a heck of a lot more than whatever we're going to spend for two positions. With that said, questions from the board?
No, I'll just make the same comment that I did during the budget work session that I had a similar conversation with Jessica, with your predecessor, who's now the Honorable Stephen Owen, who was formerly our civil attorney. And he said the one thing you need to remember is that the county attorney acts not only acts as legal counsel of the board, but they're legal counsel for the entire county, all the department heads. And he said probably 2 or 2.5 years ago when we had a conversation, at least he said my time could be spent solely working for the board, and that was shortly after I think Alyssa had started in her HR position. He said between what the challenges with having a new HR director and all the things that need to be done that haven't been done, and with the new board, he said you guys can keep one person busy just in this office, and that hasn't changed any over the last 3 years. So I think it's a good decision, and with that, I would move approval of the additional staff for the county attorney.
Effective July 1st.
Effective July 1st.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion? Any other questions? Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. It passes. Thank you very much.
Thank you on behalf of our whole office.
Thank you.
Next item is discussion and consideration of entering into contract. Hey, more business for you, Jessica. Entering into a contract and contract negotiations with OptiMay Life Services to provide mental health and disability services in Story County. Deb Shildroth. And Deb, we are trying to get a little more formal, so start by introducing yourself and your position.
Sure. Good morning, board.
Good morning.
Deb Shildroth with Story County Community Services, and I'm the director, and I'm also currently the CEO for our community services, Central Iowa Community Services region. And with that, I'm here this morning to deliver some good news, I believe, in terms of finding a provider agency to work with the county and the region on transitioning the CLP services. If you recall from my report last week, we did receive two bids from two different agencies, and each agency bid on all of the services, which was ideally what we were hoping for when we worked with our consultants. And the evaluation team through the region reviewed those bids and are recommending to enter into contract negotiations with OptiMay Life Services out of their Des Moines office. And just some reasons for our selection of that particular agency is, A, they have a long-standing presence within the state of Iowa in providing services in various parts of the state, rural areas, urban areas. And so they've been around for a long time. They are a Medicaid provider, so very familiar with cost reports in the Medicaid service arena. And they also work with counties and regions in terms of addressing needs and identifying services that need to be provided in those communities. OptumAid also has experience in stepping into situations and providing assistance with similar situations to what we've been in picking up services and working with entities and getting those services transitioned. More recently, in the Des Moines area, there was a closure of a facility in southeast Iowa, and those individuals wanted to come back to the Des Moines area, so OptumAid within 60 days developed some sites so that people had a place to return to and live at when they returned to Des Moines. So just an example of some of the work that they do. OptumAid is already present in our region. They are providing services in Jasper County, so we had that link with them as well. They do have a regional structure to their organization. They have 5 regions and working on a 6th region, so that's kind of how their business plan and their business operation is set up. They are also set up in terms of management information systems with the way they track data, collect data, and report that back not only to their funding bodies, but use that information then to improve their services. So we're excited about that as well. So at this point in time, the regional governing board yesterday approved entering into a services contract with OptumAid. So the item before you today is Story County entering into contract negotiations with OptumAid on the facilities, so the 3 group homes in the administration building that are in Ames. And we do have representatives this morning from OptumAid, so if you have questions for them or would like to hear from them, I'm sure they'd be willing to come.
Well, welcome and thank you, and we'll get to that. Wayne, I'd like to turn to you first as chair of the region. Clearly, Deb gave a great analysis of their proposal. In reading through their proposal, it looks outstanding to me. I just didn't know if in your role as chair of the region, if you have anything to add.
Not really a lot to add. The governance board took a look at that. We had the report from Deb and from the admin team that reviewed the proposals. We had representatives of OptumAid present and really didn't have a whole lot to discuss. I thought their supposal RP was quite inclusive and really covered the areas that we were concerned with as far as the ability to deliver high quality service to the clients in a cost effective way, and I think the governance board felt quite comfortable in moving forward and recommending that or approving that they enter into a service contract agreement with the group. And as Deb had indicated, their presence already in Jasper County, which is a member of our region, spoke volumes for the work that is already being done in this particular area. So from that standpoint, I felt, really good about the proposal that I saw. And if you may recall, Paul, of course, you were gone yesterday, but I did ask both Rick and Jessica to kind of just review the document information that we had received prior to it coming before the governance board, just so that in case there was something that, I needed to share with the governance board, I would, and that from all indications, there was nothing that came up that was indicated a concern, and I think they concurred with what I concurred with, that it looked very good, and we could move forward. So at this point, from what I'm hearing Deb is saying, and Deb, correct me if I'm not mistaken, what the action of the governance board yesterday was that we will go ahead with the service contract component. And we know that we've had some ongoing discussions with community life, with the facilities, in terms of what would be the appropriate use of the current facilities, how could Story County enter in some type of contractual agreement where we have clearly identified the resources that we currently own that could be utilized for the delivery of this service. And it would be my hope as chair of the governance board that you, Rick, if this is approved, would represent the board in supervisors in the capacity along with Deb and Cal, our facilities, and our legal counsel as we work with Optime regarding contract proposals, facilities types of things, and then at some point would bring this back to us to, you know exactly what it is that we're going to enter into agreement on and so forth. So
Wayne, I think that's a great point. And Deb, I just want to make sure I'm clear because it seems to me we've got really two negotiations and two contracts that are running on parallel tracks. So the region acted yesterday to enter into the contract language for the provision of services. That's now outside the purview of this Board of Supervisors, other than we have Wayne input through you to the region. That said, Story County has assets that we're currently using in the provision of these services that may be really, really beneficial to a group coming in and continuing to provide those services. And so we would need to take a look at those resources that we have, facilities and otherwise, and see what can be of use to a group like this coming in to provide the services and what kind of arrangement we can come to there. And, Wayne, I agree with you. I would say that in my capacity as chair of the board this year, I think it is appropriate for me to kind of be the point person on those discussions. But so I'm viewing kind of those two different discussions, one handled by the region, one handled by us as needing to come to fruition relatively quickly if we enter into this.
Right.
That's correct.
And I think it's clear to say that this is still all a part of the transition of services that we're looking at. These are two very key components.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just a comment along that. So we've maintained, since we first started having these conversations, how long ago, Deb? Mm-hmm. That we recognized that the region, 18 months ago, roughly, we recognized that there were going to be some changes to the way Story County residents were provided mental health services in Story County, and this board has maintained openly all the way through that our primary goal was making sure that we saw the services being provided at least as well as they had been being provided by CLP and whatever the structure looked like. And this is so exciting to me because we have somebody here with a proven track record who understands what's going on here in Iowa and even in the region now as we ramp up the new regional structure. It's clearly an organization that is successful by any measure. And I am really, really excited to know that we stated that goal early on, and now we're actually going to be able to fulfill that goal. Now, I'll say this. We've got 5 months to get all this done. We got 5 months to get the full transition done and ready for a standalone service provider here in Story County. There's a lot to be done, and time is of the essence. With that, I would like to turn – well, first of all, Board, any questions for Deb? So then I would like to turn and ask if there's anybody here from Optime that would like to address the board real quickly. If you wouldn't mind, since we record everything, please introduce yourself and your capacity, and welcome.
My name is Bill Dodds, and I'm the president of Optime Life Services. It's good to be here. I'll be brief. Thank you for expressing your confidence in us. We fully plan to earn it, and we're extremely excited about this opportunity to provide services. We know this is going to be maybe difficult isn't the right word. This is a very sensitive transition. This program has been in operation for a long time. It has an outstanding reputation, and we aim to do all we can to make sure the transition goes as smoothly as possible, that we retain as many of the current employees as possible, and that the customers don't really notice a break in services. So that's our goal, and we're looking forward to it.
And
we
appreciate that goal.
We have a lot of work to do in 5 months.
A lot of work to do. Absolutely. Questions for Mr. Dodds?
I'll just make the comment that your last statement about the clients that we serve and that you will serve, that it's always been this board's goal that there be as little disruption as possible.
Yes,
and I
clearly understand
that.
And have experience with a couple of different incidents of that, and it's challenging, but it's doable.
And I'm glad we've gotten to this point. I know what the rumors have been, that nobody was interested and the doors were going to close July 1st, and there's been a lot of employee concerns over there, and we've got our two representatives from CLP, but I'm glad we've got to this point. I have all the faith in the world in the region's administrative team that took the time to go over these proposals and select Optima as a provider, and it goes back to what we started talking about a year and a half ago about how the role of the individual board of supervisors when it comes to the providing mental health services in Iowa has changed. And as we sit here today, basically all this board is asked to do is enter into negotiations about our facilities. That the region has taken the step to do the footwork on the rest of it.
We fully realize you're vested in what happens to the citizens of
Huge.
The county, though.
Absolutely. And I know you guys do a great job identifying it in your proposal, and Mr. Dodds, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but if you wouldn't mind, as you're able as we sit here, would you just talk through a general timeline that you see? So you mentioned you're going to try to retain as many employees as is practical and
right.
that are available. Can you talk through the timeline of when those conversations will happen, when you will start providing on a transitionary basis some services here in Story County, and then ultimately ready to go July 1st?
So our goal is to take over the services that are more community-based, the sites and the services to people living in their own apartments, and the day habilitation services, the community integration program, by May 1st. So if you back that up, that means we pretty much have to have employees on board by, we would say, the end of March at the latest, to be able to, to sort of redefine those services a little bit based on our footprint and make that transition. So, and then the RCFs, our plan is to develop additional community housing so that we can empty one of those out for future use, as discussed in our proposal. And so we'll be doing that simultaneously. So,
questions?
No.
Mr. Dodd, your staff will be working really, really closely with our outstanding director of CLP, Michelle Van Moren. I know she's here today. You'll be working really closely with me when it comes to talking about the facilities and other assets that Story County have and how we can assist, knowing that our primary goal is the continuation as seamlessly as possible of those services. We're excited about that prospect, and I just want to express appreciation not only from the Board of Supervisors but from the people of Story County for Optima stepping in and coming up with what is a great proposal, and we look forward to a long, outstanding relationship.
Thank you. So do we. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. Deb, anything else before we consider this?
No, I believe everything's been covered.
All right, I turn to the board.
Okay.
I would move that we approve entering into contract negotiations with Optimate Life Services to provide mental health and disability services in Story County.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion?
Nothing to add.
Toot. Aye. Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. With excitement, aye. Thank you very much. Deb, you and I, you're going to get something scheduled as soon as possible. I thought I saw something on my calendar to start those conversations. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Next item is consideration of a new postage machine lease agreement between the Treasurer's Office and Pitney Bowes for mail creation, 5-year term at $648.29 a month, and SendSuite Live Lite 4 for a 5-year term at $550 a month. It's Treasurer Tweet and Matt. Matt, I'm going to let you introduce yourself.
Salmon, is it?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Just to give you a little history.
Start by introducing yourself, Renee.
Renee Tweet, Treasurer. As you know, today is actually D-Day. We're paying additional postage on everything that's going out of here. And so last week I sat down with Pitney Bowes and picked a product that I think is suitable for all of the employees that use the postage machine downstairs. So I will let Pitney Bowes explain what we came up with and the integration and the cost and everything. So we have Matt and Christy.
And Matt and Christy, both start by introducing yourself and your capacity with Pitney Bowes.
Thank you.
My name is Matt Salmon. I'm the Major Account Manager. I represent Pitney Bowes to Story County for Renee and all the postage meters and other solutions from Pitney Bowes.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Christine Polzine. I'm a Sales Director for Pitney Bowes, covering the state of Wisconsin and also Iowa.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for
having
us.
Okay, so take us through, start with the change. Since September, this board has been hearing about this change that's coming and how it's going to cost more and how we don't have the capabilities to handle it right now. So,
thank you.
Matt, if you wouldn't mind starting there and just kind of walking us through this point.
Absolutely. Can we unlock the computer?
Did they put it up here?
It's probably in my computer. Yeah. Want to put it in a different port?
Wash.
So what we've kind of give you a background of what's going on from our standpoint. What has changed is from the postal regulations that came into effect as of yesterday, the outbound parcel and priority shipments that are going through, used to be able to go through the mail machine at a retail or at a commercial rate, has changed from the postal regulations to go to a retail rate. That significantly impacts the spend that would go out of the mail machine versus what you're currently spending from 2014 moving forward. To get to the requirements of the postal side of it, we would have to put in a software process that would be able to manifest, be able to receive the commercial discounts for those priority and parcel shipments, and then be able to obviously manifest those things and move that back to the post office for their requirements for tracking, tracing, et cetera. So that being said, we have gone through a couple different meetings and requests working with Renee and her team to be able to put together the solution that we're going to present today to be able to minimize any cost increase to Story County for those shipments that are going out in a parcel priority scenario.
Okay.
Any questions on that?
No, not for me yet.
Okay.
Nope.
So what is currently, from the 2014 standpoint, the impacted pieces are the majority of it is the license plates portion of 7,014 pieces. That spend was a little over $17,000. The average piece was $2.45. If we did nothing with that, the postal increase would be $4,418 annually. The priority is a lesser part of it. That's more of the passports, things that need to have the additional insurance or tracking in place of it. And there's only 158 pieces of those that would be impacted from last year. That increase would be $815 with an average cost of $5.14. Obviously, the increase would be $147.69 annually.
Okay.
Well, the solution that we're presenting is a server-based solution that would sit on your server, would be able to integrate into all different facets of the workflow that would come in from different departments, different users. They would be able to access that information, be able to input their information into that, and then bring it into the mailroom or in the treasury office and be able to complete that shipping process through the and be able to get their information, their tracking, so on and so forth. They would have that all that. So some of the benefits also is then obviously the enhanced tracking from the post office. Everything is going to be able to be tracked from the website, no differently than a UPS or a FedEx type of shipment. There is a free insurance up to $50 through the priority mail portion of that. And, of course, being able to access the commercial rates versus the retail rates, we believe that the annual reduction in postage would be a little over $4,500. So there's additional things in the software. If you're using UPS or FedEx, you could rate shop in between those carriers along with the post office and verify addresses before you're sending out. So we make sure that that address is an actual address. We're not having returned mail or returned UPS items. And having a cost control there.
And so is this the SendSuite Live that takes care of this?
Correct.
So you got to just help me through this, Matt, and I apologize if I'm missing something, and let's just clear it up early if I am. So you're telling me that we've got a $4,500 problem, roughly $4,500 problem in Story County if we don't do anything.
Correct.
And we're going to spend $550 a month or $6,600 a year in order to solve that $4,500 problem. Walk me through it.
Well, that's just the hard dollar portion of it. The other side of it that we haven't covered yet is the additional processing time that it's going to take to go through a website or, to have multiple people going to a website to be able to process that, the loss of accountability, accounting situation.
Sure, absolutely.
So,
and that's what I want you to help me through, because right now I'm looking at this as a $2,000 cost.
More than what
to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So what the SendSuite Live and the light version does for us and for Story County is it allows the what we call a ship request. So that's is this form right here. A user will log into an app from their desktop that would allow them to be able to enter in the receiver information. So name, address, city, state, zip code, so on and so forth. Then they would either print this label out or be able to take the number there under the barcode and take that down to the SendSuite. Currently, we're looking at that just being a one location in the mailroom. And they would plug that. They'd either scan that barcode or they could plug that number in, and that would bring the remaining information up, and they would complete that request from a shipping standpoint, printing out a label like we showed on the first page. That would just mm-hmm. get a 4x6 label with tracking information on it.
Mm-hmm.
So this gives complete visibility from top to bottom, who's shipping out, from what department, what employee they are, what division they're in, what department they represent. Accounting-wise, it all will be chosen by Story County and how that all is rolled out. That's nothing that we mandate, but it has that ability to do that.
So help me understand. So any department in this business, let's say if that machine is stored here,
mm-hmm.
any department in this building that has outgoing mail, packages, et cetera, this barcode, this type of labeling process would be what they would use, but they would basically need to then go to the mail room to either scan this in or whatever. Then I suppose the packaging and whatever, is this something then that your staff, Renee, takes to the post office or someone comes picks it up? I'm wondering from the standpoint, are there potential additional workload for members of your staff in the final processing of this than what we're doing now? Just out of curiosity.
No, currently each department takes their own mail, and it doesn't. That part does not change. They still have to come down and meter it, and they take their own mail to the post office. So nothing
okay.
changes.
Okay, thank you.
Any additional questions?
No.
Okay. So now we're going to jump into the savings statement or the cost savings from a soft dollar standpoint. We looked through it with the compliance software, able to receive the commercial base discount. We looked at the cost savings of $380 a month and reduced postage. We're able to take into effect using a package services versus the retail rate or a commercial rate portion of that helped lower some additional costs down. But then at the same time, the approximate labor saving is $292. I figured this from using a website to process. There's several different ways that you could do this, but a website would be the one from that we pretty much have discussed. That would be the go-to from a Band-Aid standpoint?
Yeah, so making it probably overly simplistic for me, you're telling me it's going to take our staff less time to prepare one of these mailers by having this?
Exactly.
And you estimate that would be almost $300 a month in labor savings?
Correct.
Okay.
So then from the SenSuite software solution, what we are including in that cost of 60 months at $550 a month is the SenSuite software that will sit on the server. They'll have a single label printer, a single scale, and then software maintenance updates as needed. So anytime that there's a rate update with the post office, that wouldn't be included. At the same time, we're looking at moving forward with the intelligent mail barcoding portion in the SenSuite Live Lite. The mail machine then can also then be reduced down from a cost standpoint. The current monthly payment on the mail machine now is $1,019. By right-sizing and bringing that mailing equipment, we can bring that down a significant additional chunk of $370.71 a month. So there's a twofold portion of it. By implementing the software, we're able to reduce down the requirements of the mail machine.
So it'll be a smaller, newer machine that will go in down there than the one we have now?
It'll be a similar machine. It just wouldn't have some of the other, the scale and additional printing and some
that. Because that comes as part of the SenSuite Live.
Correct.
Okay.
So with the mail machine, there's a picture of basically what you have in the mail room now. There's a meter, envelope power stacker. It has the web-based accounting, so you're able to access the information from an accounting standpoint online. I have a smaller 10-pound scale, and then scale rate, and all the updates with it would come along with that maintenance agreement as well. So just kind of overview what we're proposing is the current mail machine investment is $1,019. Due to USPS rule changes, the postage will increase $380 a month.
And that's just for the treasurer. That doesn't include some of our other offices and departments.
Correct.
So it's in addition, there'll be more than just that $380.
I would believe so, yes.
Yep.
So the proposed solution, the mail machine investment of $648.29, the software investment of $550, the postage savings, and then the labor savings. We've determined that the total cost savings to Story County then would be $5,900.12 over the year.
Mm-hmm. Questions, board?
Not so much questions regarding this, but the last statement we just made, this cost is just for the treasurer's office, which is, I'm assuming it's going to impact this building and all the departments that serve here, but yet we probably have how many other departments that are using some type of postal service?
We have four other mailing machines. Is that right, Leanne?
Okay, so if we've got four others, and obviously those are related to, is there a contract period that they're currently under? But this change in law indicates that this needs to be done.
And Wayne, we're going to talk about that here in just a minute because I've got a timeline that I want to talk about. I think the pertinent question that I don't have an answer to that I would love to hear. So if we go with this SenSuite Live, is it just for this building or can others outside this building utilize it as well?
It would be just for this building and what we have proposed here today. But the other locations that we've gone through, those four other locations, we have a web-based, as their volume is significantly less than this building would be from. So their requirements from a processing standpoint that we took into consideration wouldn't be nearly as severe as it would be in this building to be able to implement a web-based solution.
I'm trying to simplify this in my mind. If it's a web-based service and it's Story County and we have it housed in any one facility, it would seem to me the logistics would be having people from the other areas bring their mail over here to process it. And so you're talking about human capital in terms of time, in essence. In other words, what I'm looking for is what is in the best interest of Story County in terms of total cost savings for the same service that is departmentalized. And this board has historically, since Rick and Paul came on board, tried to look at how we deliver service in the most cost-effective way and what is the best way for us to streamline efficiencies to the taxpayers of Story County. And what is confusing somewhat is when I hear you say web-based, that means it's got to be on our server, which is network-connected. So why is that not possible for other departments to utilize this machine if it's a web-based program? Now, maybe Barb and maybe there are license type of thing that I'm not aware of that you have to have for so many users. If that's the case, please explain that to me.
Yeah, so you would actually have one licensed workstation here in the treasurer's office mailroom, but what the other departments can do, even at the other buildings, is they can access the web browser, just like you mentioned, and they can create that ship request form and bring that document along with their parcel to the mailroom here to process it at a reduced rate.
Okay. So if they didn't want to use the reduced rate, they could continue to use the smaller equipment they have.
Right.
But if they were doing some kind of bigger mailing where it would make sense to come over here, they would have that capability.
Correct.
Right. Okay, that's what I remember.
Other questions? All right, so this has been a learning process for all of us, and you know, it's been really interesting to dig into. And so I just went back and I looked at everything this board has talked about and everything that I could find on postage machine. I thank Leanne Harder for helping me put this together. But it looks to me like early September is when Renee first came to us and said, hey, we've got a problem. We need to figure out how to get this handled. And we tasked Leanne Harder with digging into it on behalf of the board, recognizing, and I'll say this for you guys, Story County Board of Supervisors is the only entity that can enter into any contract for Story County. So while it's the treasurer's office or the auditor's office or conservator or whoever that is doing it, only the Board of Supervisors can enter into a contract. So this body is your customer. And so we went through from September, and Matt, I know you've had lots and lots of communication back and forth with Leanne Harder as she asked questions and gained information. Leanne came to us around Thanksgiving or so and gave her presentation. We got to digging into it there, and we came to the realization that we're actually one postage machine heavy. We've got two over in the Justice Center now, one in the county attorney's office, one in the sheriff's office, and it just that doesn't make any sense at all why we would have two over there in that close of proximity. So at that point, I started asking for a meeting. And, Matt, I didn't have any idea who I was asking to meet with. I was asking to meet with whoever is a decision maker for Pitney Bowes as it relates to Story County. And we never could seem to get a meeting set, which was fine. We all have busy schedules. But the part that frustrated me is when I found out after the fact that there was a meeting in this building on the 21st, I think last Wednesday, which happened to be a day that I was here from 8:30 in the morning till about 8:30 at night. I think I left one time to go to Fairway to get some lunch, and never heard anything about it when I had been requesting an opportunity to have just this conversation where I could start to get my hands around it, let you know more than just what the treasurer needs, but what Story County needs and what we're looking at. And we were never able to do that. And that does not seem to me, if you accept that this board is your customer, to be very solid customer service. I want to get that resolved. I want to dig in and look at this as one solution for Story County. Granted, we've got five pieces of equipment, but I think we only need four. I actually think when we look into it, we only have four valid contracts for five pieces of equipment. We need to dig into that, and we need to find a solution. And I'm all for saving money. I love that you point out we're going to save over $5,000 a year just in respect to the treasurer. I'm all for it. I think we have really valued our relationship with Pitney Bowes. I'm not looking. I think there's two other vendors that are authorized to provide these services, I guess licensed by the Postal Service or whatever. I'm not looking for any kind of change, but I am looking for one comprehensive solution for Story County that's easy to manage, that's easy to budget. We're going to pull the cost of the equipment and the software, if we go with the software, out of the treasurer's budget, so it's going to come straight from the Board of Supervisors. I think it's our intent to do that everywhere else in the county that we have these. And then each office or department will be responsible for their own postage, their use of that, but we'll handle it all. And I just want us to be able to get to, so it looks to me like we've been having we've been having a conversation over the largest piece of the pie that Story County has, but we've not yet had a conversation about the whole pie. This board is the one that needs to have that conversation with you about that whole pie. And so while you're here today, and I'm so appreciative that you guys are here today, I want to make sure that we're really, really clear on what happens from here and how we make a really good solution for the whole of Story County and not just any one office.
Right. I appreciate that information as well. And as working with Leanne and Renee and her team and going through that process, we backed up a little bit. Now, I may not have formally received any requests for a meeting to come in and meet with the board, so my apologies if I misread or misunderstood the emails that were going back and forth, so I'll take that on responsibility. But Christine and I have also gone back and looked at the other four locations, and there's been some changes within Pitney Bowes, but we have started rectifying that to have one point of contact, myself with Pitney Bowes, to the Story County to be able to represent all those different locations and have that all show under essentially one parent account.
Yeah.
So we've already put those things in motion behind the scenes after our discussions that we've had. So I think that's moving forward. We'll have everything tied together, and you'll have one point of contact.
Super. And for these comments, just to understand, it's not my expectation that you guys will just continually come up here to us. I'm very willing. I don't think you're in Des Moines. I think you're in Des Moines, Matt. Very willing to come down there and have this conversation. Like I say, I just want to make sure that when we make a 5-year decision, that we make the right decision for the whole of the county government rather than just any one office or department or area. And let's look at this holistically, because like I say, it didn't take us long looking into it to say, well, we've got one piece of equipment that we're paying, I don't know, it's $250 a month, it feels like, or something like that, that we don't need to have. And for us, that's what we've got to worry about. So I would appreciate if we could have that full-blown conversation. I would like to know, since yesterday was the drop dead and this is the first time that you and I have been face-to-face, is there a way that we can go ahead and get the CinSuite implemented? I mean, it's almost going on faith that we're going to work this stuff out. But I believe that if you tell me we're going to work this stuff out, we're going to get it all resolved and down to what Story County really needs dealing with the Board of Supervisors, then I would be comfortable in starting to move ahead, recognizing that time is of the essence. So I don't know which one of you I'm asking that question to.
Well, for us, or for me, for Pitney Bowes, really this is for the CinSuite Live portion of it. That's really the last piece of the puzzle in my regard. This is the biggest portion of it. The other locations, we can get them up and running with our actual web-based program. It's called PB Smart Postage, and they would have access to those additional commercial discounts for the parcel and the priority. And that's something that with a simple call into our smart postage people, they would be able to get them an ID and password set up, and they would be able to move
but
forward.
You'll be our guy that conversation.
Correct.
And there is a belief that we're going to be able to consolidate this, not necessarily into one lease, but into one solution of what Story County's doing with multiple parts. Do you believe that to be true?
Exactly. And as you mentioned before, I mean, Story County has been an available customer for us, and we value your business moving forward. So, I mean, we thank you for your business in the past and also in the future. Mm-hmm. And really, as your dedicated business partner, want to make sure that we're not only meeting but also exceeding your expectations. And we'll do that moving forward.
Well, yeah, and I think so we're at a point that should be clarifying things for both of us, right? I mean, in the 5 years I've been here, I can tell you, prior to September, I had not thought about our postal equipment one time. I don't know if you had ever. I mean, I hadn't even considered it. But once we started considering it, then it becomes our responsibility to look at what's right for Story County, and that's where we are now. And so I would hope that this could be the beginning of this relationship between Pitney Bowes and the Story County Board of Supervisors on behalf of Story County rather than any one office or department as it relates to Story
Absolutely.
County.
Absolutely. And I think that even though we worked with the treasurer, that's where the major lease sits with the mail machine, they had all of Story County, the building, in consideration. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just for this one thing, this one location. So working with Renee, like I said, and Connie and Barb,
yeah,
and Leanne, everybody, they've all had that vision that to work.
Well, and for me, man, I've appreciated this process all the way through. Like I say, until last Wednesday, that was something I didn't appreciate, and I'm taking it as it was just confusion over how the process works, and you know, you had been working with Renee for so long. It was really frustrating to me that from my perspective, I had been requesting an opportunity to get together with you and not able to. And then all of a sudden, you're available to be up here last Wednesday, and I don't get to see you at all. And again, that's my perspective of the way this thing went. But that, for me, was kind of the moment of, now, wait a minute. That doesn't seem like the way it's supposed to happen.
And again, my apologies for that side. If that request was being made, I wasn't understanding that request to be into a meeting with you or the Story County Board. So.
Good. Right. Board, I'll turn to you. Other questions?
My only question is because it's web-based, et cetera, I would assume, and Barb, our IT director, is here, is there particularly any implications for our IT program? She had an opportunity to engage or interact with this change from that standpoint. So I guess I would just like to hear from Barb if we possibly could.
Yes, I spoke with Matt on the phone. Thank you. Oh, Barb Steinbeck, Story County IT.
Very good. Thank you.
I spoke with Matt on the phone, and we discussed the technical needs for the server, et cetera. It will fit right in with the rest of our servers. We have created a separate virtual server, so it doesn't impact any of our other software or anything that we have installed. As far as the web implication, it's very minimal, the load that it puts on the internet traffic, and we have migrated now to the faster internets here in this building, so I don't see that it should impact us at all.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Does that help?
Yes, very much.
All right. Thanks.
Like, we're close to being where we wanted to be in the beginning with all this.
And we've got a commitment that we're going to get where we want to be. We're
correct.
Not there yet,
yeah, we're not
but
there
I feel
yet.
Like we got a commitment
but
that
I think
we're going to get there.
We can get done today what the treasurer needs to get done. And, man, if anybody doesn't think that this isn't fun, we started out at 9 o'clock this morning talking about drainage tiles, and here we are talking about the latest postage meter. So my head's just spinning. I'll move approval of the lease agreement. Between the treasurer's, well, it's not actually between the treasurer's
it's
office.
It's between yep. Story County.
No. Between the Story County Board of Supervisors and Pitney Bowes for mail creation to be housed in the treasurer's office.
Second.
Further discussion. Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Passes. Thank you very much. I'll look forward to a phone call or an email from you, and we can have a conversation about the way the rest of this works. Okay?
Great.
Good. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you both.
You bet.
Thank you so much for being here.
Good.
Next is consideration of recommended proposal for the tower. Paul, we get to go back to your tower for the communications equipment. We're going to take a 2-minute recess before we get to that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yep. Good. Thank you. Thank you. You ready for me? All right. So we're back in session. Next item is consideration of the proposal for the removal of the communications equipment and repurpose of the tower. Leanne, are we getting close to the end of this?
I hope so.
All right.
Good morning, Leanne.
Good morning.
Leanne Harder, County Outreach and Special Projects Manager.
What I'm going to do for the board is just revisit the timeline that was established in the RFP and then share the results as you received a couple weeks ago for the bid tabs and then open up for questions. The timeline, as approved and published in the RFP, we released them last November. The Board of Supervisors did receive RFPs and have those proposals and had those open January 13th. At that point, staff was directed to review the RFPs and come or the proposals and come back. That is where we are today. And then if you do want to look at the bid tab sheet, that was provided as part of the agenda. And sorry, I need to take off my glasses so I can read this. We did receive two proposals, Sabre Communications. The total project cost was $39,840. And then Electronic Engineering Company presented three options, but for sake of comparing apples to apples, we combined what is known as Option 1 and Option 2 together. That total project cost was $37,351. And then the option three presented by EE was $55,082.60. So as of those three proposals, the lowest is Electronic Engineering, where we combine option one and two, which is a total project cost of $37,351. 37351.
Okay.
Wayne, Sabre was 39840.
Got that. Right.
And the second EE bid, which I don't understand all of that, but the second was 55082.6.
Now, could you explain that the second, you said something about the third, I mean, it was broken down into different components?
Right. The higher of the two EE proposals that are before you today is for all new equipment.
Okay.
Okay. And we don't want new equipment, or we're not going to spend money on new equipment right now. We're just talking about transferring the existing equipment from the old towers to the new.
Right, along with new coax.
Okay.
New, and that 37351 includes the new coax.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So what we're considering today is, since there's been a little confusion through this, I think the appropriate consideration for us today is whether or not to accept one of these bids, and if we accept it, to enter into contract discussions with that entity and just make sure that we're all on the same page of where this thing's headed and what it's going to cost.
Correct. And I believe that the second option offered by EE was actually outside the scope of the RFP, wasn't it?
The new equipment.
The new equipment, but we have had those discussions with EE way back last fall. So If it's the intent of this board to strictly move the existing equipment with new coax from the two old towers to the new tower, and that's
it's as much what's the useful life of the equipment we have and budgetarily what it's going to do to us. You know, Emergency Management Commission. I sit on that commission as the chair. This is going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of a $12,000 to $15,000 hit, unbudgeted hit, to that group.
Right.
I think they're going to take probably the second largest share. I would imagine E911 will have a big share of anything we do up there, but everybody else is going to be lesser. I think we need to be careful about these unbudgeted items, especially when we're just passing on the cost to a group like the Emergency Management Commission.
And just to kind of remind everybody that may have any interest, the reason we're at this point is because when we asked that the current towers be inspected, I don't think the climbers wanted to climb the current towers.
To inspect them, right.
Correct. It was their recommendation that those towers be condemned and then we proceed with a new one. So The new one's up. Let's get this moving and get the old ones down.
Well, those towers had never been inspected that we could find, had they?
Correct. That's to my knowledge.
I'm just glad I didn't walk outside and have it laying across my truck one day.
Exactly.
But if I could add to Paul's comment, the towers have not been condemned. The recommendation was
correct. They haven't been condemned as a recommendation of that they be replaced. So, yeah, nobody actually condemned them.
Okay. All right. So where are we, Leanne?
At this point, the decision rests with you if you do want to receive the recommendation to go with EE and then direct Jessica Reynolds of the county attorney's office to begin the contract discussions and negotiations.
From my view, you guys are going to have to make the motion one way or another. From my view, we've got the low bid from Electronic Engineering. We have a longstanding relationship with Electronic Engineering. I think if we do a really good job on our end with the contract negotiations and making sure that everybody's on the same page of what's supposed to be happening and what that's going to cost us, I see no reason that we shouldn't proceed.
I would concur.
I would move that we enter into contract negotiations with Electronic Engineering for the transfer of the current antennas from the two old towers to the new tower.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion. Lee, anything else? All right. Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Passes. Jessica, another item for your long list.
So that goes to, what, 589 now?